give you all something about hallelujah, because we heard a lot of hallelujahs there. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. But do we really know what we are saying and how hallelujah, hallelujah is? I don't think so, because I just learned something I'm going to share with you. And we all kind of know that hallelujah means praise the Lord. Hallelujah, give praises, and then Jah, J-A-H, to God, right? Praises to the Most High God. Hallelujah. And hallelujah is the same translation in Portugal, in the Philippines, in Hawaii, in Japan, in India, wherever hallelujah is spoken, hallelujah is always hallelujah. Hallelujah? Hallelujah. And I think sometimes we use hallelujah a little bit, you know, for other words other than praise the Lord, like yes or no. Do you understand? Hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah? Yeah, I hallelujah, meaning you understand or you say yes. But catch this, man. I was on my old friend, and thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Praise God. Thank you, folks. Thank you, folks. You guys got to catch this, even though you come out, because this is good now. Don't let it pass you by. I was on one of the tools that I use to help my life, and a little bit of entertainment, but normally I use it to help me out. And this Israeli professor of Hebrew studies pops up on my thing, and he starts talking about hallelujah. And what he shared and what he taught me about hallelujah, I'm about to blast into you, and that is this. The word hallelujah, praise to God, to the one true, to the Most High God, is such a sacred word, and it is so special, important, and precious that it cannot be translated. That's the only word in the Bible that cannot be translated. Even amen has been translated to so be it, and you see it in some Bibles as so be it. But you go to every other Bible and you look at the word hallelujah, hallelujah is always hallelujah, because it is sacred and special, and it cannot be translated, it cannot be changed, because it is praises, it is worship to the one true God. Hallelujah. So when we say hallelujah, let's remember that treasure and how special and how important and how designated that word is. I mean, you can translate almost everything. You can't translate hallelujah. It hasn't been and it will not be. It is sacred. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, as we were worshiping there today and what happened to me today, and it's just something that I feel in my spirit, and I'm going to share it with you as a word from the Lord for me, and this could be a word for you if the shoe fits, if the coat fits, put it on, wear it, and just work it out. But I believe in the name of Jesus that God is calling people out. He's calling people out. He's saying, you, Pastor Al, I'm calling you. Step up. Do this. Go here. Go there. Prepare for this. And I was just, I listened to the worship. God, I'm just so blessed by the worship today. I could have stayed and worshiped the whole, just keep me there. And I love the word, and I want to get the word, and I want to feast and feed on that word and share that word. But I could have stayed in hallelujah, I am not alone. On Christ, a solid rock I stand. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I need that solid rock. I need that solid rock. I need that foundation. And I was like, oh, yeah. I need that. I need that. I'm there, Lord. I'm there. And I just heard the Lord calling me out. Calling me out to worship. Calling me out to receive what he had. And I heard him calling some people out here out, too. I mean, Uncle Jimmy and I were talking a little bit before service. Uncle Jimmy, he calling you out. God has got you. He's got you. You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. You are not alone, Uncle Jimmy. You are not alone. God loves you so much. He's not done with you yet, Uncle Jimmy. Woo! He's calling out. Now, of course, it's up to us to say, yeah, Lord, I'm in. I'm all in, Lord. You the boss. I receive it. I'm down. I'm with you, Lord. I'm with you. You know, one thing that you don't want to be, and we've got this professional rugby player at Goodfellow Brothers by the name of Vili Tolotua. I believe Vili's dad is a minister. I believe that. I think his dad might have went home to Jesus. But Vili is a professional rugby player for the Seattle Seawolves. And if anybody knows Vili or has met Vili, he's got a head like Captain Caveman. Woof. You know, Vili is actually kind of not a very big Tongan Samoan. I think he's mixed, Tongan Samoan. But when you add his woof, whoo, brother, that looks big. And like you don't want to get hit by it. But in rugby, when you're going down that field, you're charging the other rugby players, and Sister Renee used to hang out with me when I played rugby, when I played all-army rugby for the Army. When you got your head down and you got that big, thick, almost looks like a football, but it's thick, fat kind of head. When you got that thing, one of the things that you want to hear is with you. Okay, so you're going down, you want to hear with you. So right before you get smashed, you drop that ball into the rugby pass, and you pass it over. Poof. And you cannot pass unless somebody is with you. And you cannot receive the ball unless you're with somebody. So you can't get called out unless you're with the Lord. Lord, I'm with you. What do you want today? What is my mission for today, Lord? Here I am. Send me. Hallelujah. We are not alone. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't even write any of that down. But God is good. For Jesus. Oh, yeah. I'm pumped. I am so excited for what God is doing in this house, what He's doing in all your lives, what He's doing with your children. Alpha Team, move out. Hallelujah. Little inside thing about Alpha Team over there. You know, that secret stuff. We don't want to use. We don't want that to come out. You gotta have a top secret clearance to know about Alpha Team. Hallelujah. But and maybe one day we'll preach about Alpha Team. But thank you all again for seeding into my life, everybody. How many know God's large and in charge? And you know how I know He's large and in charge is so many ways. But last Monday was Veterans Day. And, you know, Veterans Day. Brother Al, Pastor Al, Veterans Day. You know, veteran, hoo-ah, veteran. But for some reason, I was sleepy veteran, and when I got called out, I didn't hear the call. I don't know what the heck. I'm ready for the call, because Veterans Day, I'm watching my phone, I'm ready, Veterans Day. But for some reason, I missed it. But God's plan says, Brother Joseph. Huh? Brother Joseph. Step up, brother. He's calling you out. And Brother Joseph, in all his National Guard glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, he got called out and ministered a wonderful, wonderful word on Veterans Day during prayer meeting. Thank you, Jesus. You got to get ready to get called out, church. God is calling you out, youfish, youths. Come on, Geisha. Give me something, man. Give me something. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Gotta give. I'm giving. You gotta give back. I gotta get. I was at Construction Career Day this past Friday. Young students from all the high schools all across Maui County. So that includes Lanai, Molokai, and Hana. Woo! Praise the Lord for Hana. Thank you, Jesus, for Hana. Love the boys and girls from Hana. Some of them boys like make their own rules. Come here, see Uncle Alfred Yashondo. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some of us with the Lord, we like make our own rules. Come here, Pastor Al, for Yashondo. Ah, get delivered. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's get to the Word. Amen? Amen. Okay. Back to safety. And you know, since today is such a special day, and since I got called out, I brought some other weapons in my arsenal, just in case. In fact, I brought my big old Founders Bible, just in case, because this one, you know, if they're not getting the word, you know, you can beat them with the word a little bit. I mean, God doesn't really do that. I mean, sometimes spiritually he does that, and we don't, you know, he's giving us the word and putting the word inside us, and we keep resisting and not taking it into our spirit. So we'll just get a bigger word and pound a little. Get a bigger hammer. Get a bigger machine so we can get the job done. One malasada alone cannot do the job. But many malasadas working together, we can get the job done. Vote Willy Mama Willy for Independent Republicrat. Okay, you older people are laughing. You younger people are thinking, what the heck? We need to give Pastor Al a shishi test to make sure he's not on drugs. Well, I assure you, I am on the Holy Ghost drug. I can tell you that. If I was to make shishi in a little cup, the Holy Ghost would come out and say, Shondo! Shondo that brother. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So actually, I also have a different note-taking weapon too come out. It's my trifold folder thing. And, you know, this brother came out, this thing came out because, you know, I got called out. And you always got to be ready, in and out of season. And when I got called out, I reached for the first weapon. Okay, where's my weapon? Where's my weapons? Okay, I got this weapon. I got that. Okay. You can't go back to your arsenal and say, okay, Lord, time out now. Let me go get the Bible that I like to use to preach. At, just a second, Lord. Let me go get my normal notebook. I know you're calling me, but I got to, you know, in and out of season, baby. If you got to write it, if you got to bust out, and I've been like this before, and this is the God's truth. I've been out on the road before, and God jumps in my truck. Has God ever jumped in anybody's truck? I'm out on the road just driving, minding my own business, do-do-do-do-do. And God jumps in my truck, and he says, wow, oh, oh, okay, Lord, okay. I got a pack of gum. Okay, gum. Pull over the side of the road. Take my gum out. Open it in half. And I write on top of my gum pack what the Lord is telling me, because this is the weapon I got. I reach for it, and I want to remember. Yeah, I want it in my heart. We all want it in my heart. But you know what? I'm 54 years old, and, you know, sometimes I need a little help. So, whatever weapon, man, give me a. Anybody seen John Wick? He killed him with a pencil. Yeah. Hey. When you're facing the devil, if you got to kill the devil with a pencil, kill the devil with a pencil. Yeah, sure, you want your nice word of God, you want your scripture keys and everything, but if all you got is a pencil, sunk, kill him with a pencil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you got to write down what God is telling you on a piece of gum package, bust it out, write it down, get it, receive it, keep it. You know why? Because what God says to me, what he says to you, it's important. He's given it to you for a reason. And you never know what that reason is. And sometimes I'll be cleaning up my truck, trying to keep it straight. I find a 3x5 card or a gum pack. Hey. Oh. Yeah. That's okay. Go love on my wife. Or whatever he's telling me to do. I got, you know, he's the boss. Look at your neighbor and say, he's the boss. Look at the other. He's really the boss. And look up and say, God, you the boss. Hallelujah. He's the boss. We got to acknowledge that. Not only do we have to acknowledge that, but we need to know who we are. We need to know who we are as individuals. We need to know who we are as a church. I mean, as an individual, you can bust out your driver's license, and it's got a lot of key information on your driver's license. It tells you who you are. Who we are as a church is really, God is really doing some exciting things there. with our website. I don't know if you've been to the Word of Truth Maui website lately, but God is doing some wonderful things there. It is growing, it's moving, it's grooving, it's improving, and it helps us to know who we are. The Lord's Team Ministries, Word of Truth Church, power-packed, non-denominational Christian church, part of this community for the past 25 years plus. In this house, almost 20 years coming up on. We are a missions church. You know, and just me being an Army guy. Praise the Lord for Brother Ty here, you know, missionary, go to foreign land. But I just hear that word mission, and I'm sure Brother Ty takes the same way. Mission. God put you on a mission. This is what you're supposed to do, Brother Al. This is what you're supposed to do, Brother Joey. Mission, brother. Mission. And I like having a mission. I like knowing what I'm supposed to do. We should know what we're supposed to do. We are a missions church, not just spiritually, but also physically, which means we get out there and we put some feet to our faith. We put some works to, Lord, here I am. He sends a surfboard. Lord, here I am. He sends a helicopter. Lord, here I... Hey, get on the surfboard. Jump in the helicopter. Do something. Praise the Lord. We give and support over 21 outreaches to include the American Red Cross, Disabled Veterans, Malama Pregnancy, Feed My Sheep, World Vision, Chosen People, St. Jude's Hospital, Mercy Ships, and many, many more. We are a word-based church, and if you really want to know who you are as a church, there's 9 tenets of faith on our website. It's good for you to just get schooled up on that a little bit, and I'm not going to preach on that or review it, but know that it's there. It's things like we believe in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we believe in water baptism, we believe speaking in or the utterance of other tongues, and so forth and so on. Tenets of faith. The Lord's Team Ministries, we're in a truth church. We are difference makers in this community. Amen. I mean, clean up. Clean up. Yeah, you can clap for that. I'm going to clap for that. Yeah. I mean, this place, if we wasn't here, who would occupy over here? You know, and praise God, love the homeless, love them, God bless them, help them, give them food, give them whatever the Lord says. But they kind of don't clean up, and they're kind of not the best for the community all the time, right? You got to take care. Love the drug dealers, praise the Lord, you used to kind of be one. Hey, hallelujah, Shando, not anymore, delivered, you know? But if we was not here, those people would be here in our community, in this area. If we wasn't over there at the old rated X bad triple X action video, if we wasn't over there, what would be there? Right? I mean, come on. Just that alone, just being a human being, not a human doing, but a human being and a church being a church impacts the community. And this place has impacted the community. You have impacted the community by just showing up. Hallelujah. Now we got to get ready to get called out and put some feet to our faith. Hallelujah. And part of us being difference makers in the community has also been doing things like prison visits, security for the governor, helping the Boy Scouts, helping Feed My Sheep. We are a church that does stuff. We don't just sit and watch things go by. Amen. And we have wonderful facilities. We have some really, really awesome facilities. Yeah, you can put your hands together for that. I mean, this church is cool. You know, it's got the nice stadium seating, soft chairs. I mean, we could be out on the 110 someplace, but no, we get the nice stadium seating, soft chairs, air conditioned soon. Hallelujah. Air conditioned coming back, baby. Air conditioned coming back in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, and even over with the children's church, I mean, how many birthdays and children's classes and youth classes and all these things, you know, hula ministry, men's, all the things that we've done over there, just some wonderful facilities. And we are good stewards. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Man. Come on, Pastor Al. Let's get to the Word. Praise the Lord. It's kind of like a golf ball, you know. You got to put the golf ball on the tee. You know, you got to tee it up. Got to get the golf ball ready so when you swing, you know, whoa, where'd the golf ball go? You know, you want to tee it up, put it on the tee so you get a good hit. I'm trying to tee it up. Trying to tee up that word so we get a good hit. So you receive something, so you get something. So something goes into your heart, not just into your brain. Hallelujah. Trying to tee it up. So really what I'm trying to say, and this is the title for today's message, if you need a message, is everything needs a command guidance system. CGS, command guidance system. Cars need some sort of command guidance system. Boats, airplanes, computers, the coffee maker, machines, people. Let me say that one again. People need a command guidance system. Because if you don't have a command guidance system, and you can talk to our local airplane mechanic out there at Station 3. If you don't have a command guidance system, beep, bop, boom, boom, beep, bop, all over the place. Things don't work properly. You get lost. The proper things do not happen. The right things don't happen unless you got a command guidance system. So we're going to talk a little bit about the command guidance system that we're supposed to have today. Amen, everybody? And the command guidance system, you know, a lot of times is our brain, you know, but really I would say that the command guidance system that God gives us is our consciousness, our conscience. Okay, you know, let your conscience be your guide. You know, you get that funny feeling that says, I ain't supposed to be doing this. That's your conscience. That's your command guidance system, or part of your command guidance system that God gives you to keep you straight. There is no command guidance system, there is no document that has so changed the world and has so changed people for the better than the Ten Commandments, a.k.a. also known as the Warrior's Code. And I give my flamer point to the Warrior's Code over there. In the Army, whenever you're in a group, you're getting some orders or some instructions, you never want them. You know, because this is like the chop. Ah, you need to go. Ooh, command guidance. Okay, that's like more than just pointing. That's like the five fingers of death, man. That's like, what's that, Bruce Lee? You need to get out there and clean up that motor pool, son. No, just kidding. Don't get any flashbacks there, Pastor Al. Stay away. Stay on the path. The Ten Commandments. No document has changed the world as much as the Ten Commandments has. In Western civilization would not have developed without the Ten Commandments. And there is proven documentation on how the Ten Commandments is the basis for our legal system. The basis of our legal system and the Ten Commandments in the Western civilization has helped us end slavery. It has given women's rights, basic human rights, and it has also promoted parliamentary democracy, which basically means you get the vote, you get a voice. Ten Commandments, the command guidance system. All that is necessary to make a good world, I'm not just talking a good community or good people, I'm talking a good world, is right there in those Ten Commandments. Guarantee. Prove it. You might say, and the Ten Commandments, the catch about the Ten Commandments is this. Here's the big thing about the Ten Commandments. If you don't get this, you're not going to get anything. Okay? The Ten Commandments came from God. God gave the Ten Commandments. If you don't know, receive, understand, believe, take in that the Ten Commandments came from God, then they're just words on a piece of paper. But if you believe, and you should believe, as Christian believers, that the Ten Commandments came from God, that is God breathed. That is God written by the hand of God. His finger wrote on those stones. God gave those commandments. So the authority, right? The authority for right and wrong and moral values, it doesn't come from a government. We do this because the law says. It doesn't come from a man. We do this because Uncle so-and-so says, or because the policeman says. It doesn't come from a man. It doesn't come from whatever. It comes from God. And because it comes from God, it should convict our hearts to do the Ten Commandments, to stay in the boundaries of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are there to keep us safe, to protect us, to bring order, not just to our lives and our family, but to bring order to society. Makes everything run smooth. Okay? I mean, if our society did that, you know, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not, we wouldn't need the police, we wouldn't need armies, right? Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's stuff, you wouldn't just, you know, but we gotta lock our stuff up. We gotta have security alarms on our house, on our cars. Because we don't want nobody taking our stuff. Because maybe some people ain't living by the Ten Commandments. Or even living by the law, for that matter. I mean, that's law you're not supposed to steal. That's you know, that's Hawaii Revised Statute, HRS. You know, that's law. Don't ask me how I know that. Otherwise, I'll get off into the bunny will go off into the trail, and I might start talking about safety and that kind of stuff. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And some may think that, we don't need commandments and we don't need laws to know what's right and wrong. Oh, yes, we do. I give you two examples. Communism. Nazism. You tell me anywhere in morals and values and what is right. You tell me those things was right. And I will, you and I will have a big disagreement. Those two beliefs right there killed over 100 million people. I'm not talking about soldiers, army, air force, navy. I'm just talking about people. Those two beliefs killed people because of the color of their skin and because of their beliefs. Where the heck is that right? That ain't right. And that's why us believing in the Ten Commandments, believing in the Lord, believing in His Word is so important. And not just believing, but living by it and doing it. Amen, everybody? Hallelujah. Safety. Let's go to the Word. Exodus chapter. Anybody, Children's Church? Children's Church? Children's Church? Children's Church? You. Exodus chapter 20. I was just looking forward to see if anybody remember where the Ten Commandments came from. And the Ten Commandments are actually written in two places, in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. So, but it was first in Exodus. And in Exodus, it's important, and I'll show you why. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm so blessed to be here. God is so good. God gave us a little rain this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. It is written, then God, everybody say, then God.
Then God.
Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much that you have promised us that your word goes out and does not come back void. So we know in the name of Jesus, by your promises, in the hearing of this word, something good is going to happen. Some deliverance is going to happen. Something positive is going to happen in our lives because of your word. And we believe that. And all that believe that, come in agreement and say amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Then God spoke all these words. It doesn't say then Moses spoke all these words. It doesn't say then President Trump tweeted all these words. I mean, spoke all these words. He would probably tweet a few here and there. It doesn't say President Obama. It doesn't say Margaret Thatcher. It says God. And that's why these commandments are so important and so solid and so true and have had such a huge effect on our society. Then God spoke all these words saying, I am the great I am, the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. So number one, so important, God gave the commandments, right? We got that. Number two, God delivered not just the Israelites out of slavery, but he delivered us out of slavery, out of the bondage of sin. God said it, God delivered. That second part, or verse 2 right there, should tell us that to God, freedom is important. We live in America. We live in a free country. If our founding fathers did not get that about freedom, free from slavery, free from tyranny, maybe our flag might be red with a sickle outside. Who knows? Right? Or have the Union Jack and a king on top of it. Whatever. Eh? But to God, freedom is important. And to God, him opening the doors and him releasing us to live free, that's what he does. Now, whether it's freedom from a government or a people or from some sort of addiction or some sort of sin, God wants to set you free. And once the Father has set you free, you are free.
Indeed.
Hallelujah. Indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Indeed. Free indeed. The original Hebrew for the Ten Commandments is not the Ten Commandments. It's the Ten Statements. Okay, it says the Ten Statements. And if you've been in this church for any amount of time, you know that Apostle Rocky teaches the difference between a statement and a question. A statement is, that's it. Clean your room. I'm not asking you to clean your room. I'm making a statement. Clean your room. That means do it now. Go here, go there. I'm not requesting for you to go to school. I'm not asking you to go to school. I'm making a statement. I'm telling you, go to school. It's a statement. The Ten Commandments are statements. Ten statements. God is telling us. It is not a request. It is not an option. It is not a good idea. Consider it a text from the boss that has these 10 things on it that are going to help our lives. And it's good for us. He's given this order. He's given these 10 commandments so that he can give us ethical monotheism. Woo! Big word. Ethical. Morality. A code of what's right and wrong. Monotheism. Mono, one. Mono, imano, one to one. One, God. Morality and a code of right and wrong from one God. That is what is in our Ten Commandments. What God wants in just this first statement is for us to treat others morally. These first two sentences before the commandments are given is God teeing up the commandments. He's teeing up the commandments so we can hit them and be successful. He's saying, these commandments come from me, and I'm setting you free. And I'm not just setting you free, I'm setting your whole society free. But you got to stay with the program. So he's teeing it up. Okay? So Freedom is important to God. In fact, if you look at the Liberty Bell, the symbol of America's freedom, there's only one thing that's printed on that Liberty Bell, and it says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and all the people. Freedom, liberty is important to God. It is important to the United States. And you cannot be free and do whatever you want and do whatever you think and just la, 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 la without some moral self-control. These commandments, this ethical morality, this code of right and wrong helps us to have that moral self-control so we don't go fa la la, do whatever we want, hurt whoever we want, take whatever we want, go wherever we want, even though it's not safe for us. Oh, who cares if it has a nuclear reactor sign? I'm just going there because I'm free, bro. No. There's some morals, right and wrong. You got to be locked into the Lord. And the last thing that the teeing up of the Ten Commandments in the first two verses there says that God cares deeply for us. He, our Father, cares so, so deeply for us, and He wants us to prosper. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be safe. He wants to help us to live a good, solid life. And He has given us these guidelines, these command guidance system to help do that. Now, of course, it's our choice whether we do it or not, right? Because if, you know, you do not murder because the Hawaii Revised Statute says do not murder, well, Hawaii Revised Statutes ain't here, and my neighbor, I'm tired of this guy, and it's done. So I'm gonna take care of the business, right? Big deal. But if you believe that those commandments came from God, and the Hawaii Revised Statutes, they ain't watching. My neighbor, I'm tired of this guy. I'm gonna go take care of him. Wait a minute. God told me I shall not murder. Oh man, God is watching. The police may not be watching. Your parents may not be watching. The pastors may not be watching. But I can guarantee you this. Guarantee. Stand on the Bible, whatever. God is watching. God is watching. And He's testing us on these right here. So we better get with the program. Church, raise my hand. Get with the program. Stay on course. Stay with the flock. It's a lot easier to fly with the flock. Because you all fly in that nice V, cutting through that air. Where's our airplane mechanic can tell about that? Right? Stay with the flock. Or be solo bird. Honk, honk. Where's the flock? Where's the flock? Honk, honk, by myself. Poof. Coyote. Poosh. Hallelujah. Again, the old people get it. Praise the Lord. One of these days, you know, hey, youth minister, youth pastor, we got to have a class on how to be old. Okay? Subject number one, Captain Caveman. Who the heck is that? That's the guy with the big hair. Subject number two, the coyote, Roadrunner. Yeah, praise the Lord. The old people there, young people, what? What's this guy? Shishi test. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God wants us to move forward. God wants us to be safe. Look at your neighbor and say, move forward.
Move forward.
Look at your other neighbor and say, stay safe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. A little audience participation right there. Thank you, Jesus. So, the first commandment that God gives us, wait a minute. Before we go to the first commandment, let's go to the other end of the Ten Commandments. Let's go to the back. Okay, so we teed it up. We've got to close the door. How does God close the door? Let's go to verse 18. This is how God closes the door on the Ten Commandments. Check it out. So He tees it up. He says, I'm giving it, I'm setting you free. But then He closes it off like this. verse 18, all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. When all the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. So you get the Ten Commandments, and then God brings thunder. Hello. He brings lightning. Hello. He brings smoke. Smoke signal. Hello. He busts out the trumpet. His trumpet. Not the angel's trumpet. It's God's trumpet. And God says, hello. Whoa. This is a message from God. So he tells you he's giving a message. He's setting you free. And then he's giving you all these miracles, signs, and wonders. Not just one, not just two, not four. He brings miracles, signs, and wonders to show you that these commandments is important. So up front, he tees off. And in the back, he sets off the fireworks. Ha! And the people is like, oh, we better do these commandments. They respected God. They feared God because they heard him and they saw his miracle power right there after he delivered those commandments. Could you imagine if you got some mail in the mailbox and after you open the mail, boosh, pah, boom, pah, 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 hey, hey, this mail is important. I better pay this bill now. Yeah, in fact, hey, just think about the bill guys, man. Hey, bill guys, 911, if you send thunder, lightning, smoke, and you blow a trumpet, the bill will get paid. Okay. All you rich landlords out there, people in the you know, speaking it in. So when you're collecting rent from your renters, send thunder, lightning, smoke, and the trumpet, and you will get paid. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God's serious. So in the first commandment, God says that you shall have no other gods before him. Commandment one, you shall have no other gods before him. This tells us not just God first, but God all the time. God should be a value, not a priority on the list. God always. God commands, God delivers, him first, him always. Amen, everybody? And then, let's go to the middle of the race. And this is just when I get a mission, right, I look at what's up front, and I look what's in the back. Where am I at now? Where do I got to go? How did God start it? How did he close it? What's the first step I got to take? I shall have no other gods before me. Okay, got it. Then for me, I look in the middle. Okay, how do I get halfway there? How do I get the Wednesday power service? Okay, I'll get all the other stuff in between. But I know the first, I know the last, I know how to step off. How do I get to the middle? How do I get halfway there so I can at least gain some ground and get some accomplishment? So right in the middle of these Ten Commandments is number five. And we all love number five. Right, you? Yeah, Pastor Al, we like number five. Yeah, it's a good one. Number five is a pretty good one, you know. Kind of like number five. Six minus one, five. Four plus one, five. Just a church. Jesus got Bible. I know it's in there someplace. Thou shall honor thy parents. Woo-hoo. Number five. It's a good one. It'll get you there. It's right in the middle. And you know why I like number five, thou shalt honor thy parents? Because it connects 1 through 4 to 6 through 10. Number five in the middle connects 1 through 4 that I'll talk about God to 6 through 10 that I'll talk about us. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. God is not in the murder, lie, steal stuff. That's us. God's over here saying, we shall have no other gods. We shall not take the Lord God's name in vain. We shall honor the Sabbath day, his day, and keep it holy. These first four is about him. These last five is about us. And the connector that brings God to us is the parents. It's the parents. Why is it the parents? Because the parents represent authority. The parents represent authority. But some people don't like authority. I don't need authority. I got this. Oh. You got this. So I got a stack of bills right here. Show me. See how that rocks and rolls. You got this? Get on with your bad self there, youngin.
There you go.
And I know Kikoa is not laughing that much because, you know, he's in it, man. Brother's in it. And, oh, wow. Thank you, Jesus. The parents represent authority. And if you're not going to show honor to your parents, how are you going to honor God? If you cannot show honor to those that you can see, to those who you should respect, to those that you should love, how are you going to show honor to the one that you cannot see? Your parents are God's representative here on earth to keep you safe. Your parents are God's, my parents are God's gift to me to help me and to give me the best life. But sometimes I don't treat them like that. And let me tell you, honoring your parents, just do it. I don't care if your parents are mean to you. My dad was mean to me. I mean, mean. Slap me around. Abuse me. Physically and verbally. My dad. Wait a minute, God. But God tells me to honor him. And you know what? I did. Even though I didn't want to. And in the latter part of my dad's life, right before he died, I honored my dad big. Because I got saved here in his house, and his house taught me how to honor. And when I did that, God helped me. See, it wasn't about my parents, it was about me. And parents, if you're not honoring your parents, what the heck? How is the kids going to see that if you ain't doing what you're supposed to do? If you're not setting the example. So if you still got living parents, some of us that know about Captain Caveman and Wile E. Coyote, hey, pick it up. Yeah. Start honoring them parents so that you, not so that you can get honored, but so you set an example so the next generation can be better. We can go over the statistics of kids, what happens when the parents, you come from a one-parent household or a family that is not solid. You don't come from a two-parent household. But most of the boys end up violence, jail, drugs, don't get out of high school. Most of the girls end up promiscuous and choosing the wrong men in their life because they don't know what a man's supposed to be like because there was no man in the house. There was no mom and dad working together. We really need to work on that, church, society. You want to fix society? Fix the family. You see, back in the times of Noah, before the flood, it was all about the individual. It was all about me, me, me. What can I get? What can I do? And God looked down, he saw that, he saw it was evil. That's it, man. Pulling the plug, flooding the place. And what God did was he put Noah and his family on that boat. God protected the family in his precious hands. But then, after the flood, came the Tower of Babel. And society got together. And society said, we got this. We it's all about the group. It's all about the group. About the group. About the group. No trouble. It's all about the group. Join the group. 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 In fact, in early Hebrew writings, that Tower of Babel was so important. It was more important than the individual. It is said that it took 1 year to get a brick from the ground level all the way up to the top of where the Tower of Babel was built. 1 year. to get that brick up there because they didn't have all the stuff that they have nowadays, right? If a brick, it is said, it is written in ancient Hebrew writings, if a brick fell and broke, the people would cry and be sad because they lost that brick, and that brick was helping the society. But if a person died, they just make them part of the tower. We just build them in right there, and nobody cried because, okay, the person's dead. We'll use them for society. A brick was more important than the person. The society was more important than the individual. So you got individual before Noah, you got the family with Noah, and you got the society after Noah. God, right in the middle, just like these commandments, the family is where it's at. And the family is key. And this is why you should honor your mother and your father. Now it is also said about this particular commandment, the fifth commandment, that this is the first commandment with promise. And long shall your days be on the land. If you follow this commandment, you're going to live long. A lot of people look at that particular benefit as a reward. Okay, if I'm nice to mom and dad, if I honor mom and dad, I'm going to live long. I'm going to have a nice long life. Maybe, just maybe, we should change that around a little bit and say, this is the first commandment with purpose instead of promise. The purpose that we should follow this commandment is so that long shall our days be. But if the family is the basis of society, if you follow this commandment, then your society shall live. The society shall last. And it starts in the home by honoring mommy and daddy. So what does that mean? Honor mommy and daddy, your father and your mother. That simply means you treat them better. You treat them above. You don't curse around them. You don't do bad things. You help them. Right? You listen to them. And then when you're away from the home, and this just really blesses my heart when it happens, because I feel good when my sons call me up. I feel so good. And nothing needs to be happening. And even if they ask for money or what, I don't, whatever. Just to hear their voice on the other end of that phone, it tells me that I'm honored. That they honor me as their dad. That they respect me. So if you're away from your parents, call them up. It's impactive. It's important. It makes a difference. And it brings honor. The other thing that we should notice about this commandment is that it doesn't say to love your parents. In fact, it's very it's interesting as heck. If you look at that big fat Founders Bible over there, Genesis to Revelation, no place in that Bible does it say to love your parents. It doesn't say love your parents. What? What? It doesn't say love your parents. It says love a stranger. It says love a neighbor. And it says love something else too. I'll go to my notes and figure it out. Run back. Safety. Where is the note? Love a stranger. It even says love God. It says to love God. But it doesn't say love parents. It says to honor your parents. Treat them special. Put so much weight on their words that they feel important and honored. Honor is a high mark. Honor is a high mark to God, and it's a high mark in this house. There are huge, huge blessings that come with honor. Long life. Good society. The fifth commandment is a commandment that ties that all in and ties it together. Amen, everybody. Praise God. Let's, Pastor Al, let's wrap this up and put a bow on it. Okay, here. God told me this in my truck. I love when he shows up in my truck. Plenty of room for God. He can drive, man. God, take the wheel. Autopilot. Uber God. God's driving. Seek honor and love will come. Okay, how's that one? hot off the presses. Seek honor and love will come. If you don't feel love, if you're looking for love in all the wrong places, if you seek honor, seek to honor your parents, honor those in authority, love will come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. So let's wrap this up and put a bow on it. Hallelujah. So God's command guidance system. We took a look at the front. We took a look at the back. We got started and we got to the middle. Every place else in between, God will bring that out when he brings it out. So it's important to know that all the commandments came from God. They actually free us. God put exclamation points on the commandments by bringing miracles, signs, and wonders at the end. We should have no other gods before our God, and we should honor our parents. In 3,000 years, 3000, in 3,000 years, no one has come up with a better system, a better way, a better belief for a moral, safe society than the Ten Commandments that God has given us, and no one ever will. And that's the bottom line. And you can take that to the bank. Shashing. Put interest on it and a bag of chips. Hallelujah. Thank you for shopping. Please come again. Thank you, Jesus. If you have not received Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, this could be your day. And this could be your time. It is the most important decision that you will ever make. You see, when we are born into eternal life. You are born to live forever. But the question you need to ask yourself is, when your heart stops beating here on this earth, when you take your last breath on earth, where will your next breath be? If you receive Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, your next breath will be in heaven with God and all the angels. And he will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Now enter into your rest, into my rest, excuse me." But if you do not make that decision, you run the risk, and it's a high risk, and it's almost a guarantee, you run the risk of living your remainder of eternity with Satan and his demons in the lake of fire, where the evil never stops, and it is a painful death, and is a painful way to live out your eternity. So if God is speaking to you this day, all you have to do is repeat after me. Nobody's asking you to join a church. Nobody's asking you to give money, join a club. This is between you and God, and it's personal, and it's individual. Individuals are important to God. So just repeat after me this prayer if God's speaking to you and speaking to your heart. Lord Jesus, forgive me of the sin I have committed. Help me to follow you. I repent of my sin and I turn towards you. Come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Have a personal relationship with me and help me that I would never, ever be the same again. In Jesus' name, shushing. If you have prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. It is done. The angels rejoice. We rejoice with you. Call up the office over here in Maui. We can help you get squared away. If not this church, we can help you find a church. A Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Ten Commandment, command guidance system kind of church. Thanks for watching. Hallelujah.